Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 419, and we're going to continue with chapter 28, the long chapter, in which Moses is warning Israel about all the evils that are coming upon them. First, he tells them the good news, if they obey God, and all the good things that God is going to do for them, their Savior, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And if they don't, if they go just the other way around, which they did, unfortunately, and he knew that they will, God told him. So he warned them about all the evils that are coming upon them again from the same God, the God of love. A lot of people don't know this God of love. They have a lot of false concepts about him. And certainly the majority, the overwhelming majority of those who call themselves Christians do not even know who that person is. When they read all the Hebrew scriptures, they think, well, that's the God of law, and that's the God of the Old Testament. That's the, you know, old harsh monster, the Father. You see? And so they think that now we've got a new God. You see, the God of love, the God of mercy, you know, sweet Lord Jesus, and so forth. Well, this is sweet Lord Jesus speaking through Moses. This is what he's going to bring upon them. And when he comes, at his coming, we're going to read, you know, Revelation, when you read it later on, you see, by the wrath of the Lamb that is going to pour upon all mankind. You see? A lot of people are not aware of that. They're just not being told the truth. They're being told lies and deceptions by their leaders, who themselves are ignorant, though many of them are sincere and good people otherwise, you see, and devout, and yet they've been poisoned from a very young age by another generation who was poisoned and so forth from the beginning of time. And they don't realize that they are into a false religion, which they think is the true religion of God. And it's anything but so-called Christian. In many ways, anyway, not that everything is wrong. A lot of things there are good. And nevertheless, these are the people that God will tell them, generally speaking, to many of them, I don't even know you because you are lawless. You know, you have rejected the law. And when you reject the law, you reject the mind of Jesus Christ, the mind of God, his nature. And you don't know him. You think you do. And so, we're going to continue now with verse 53. In verse 52, he was telling them that he's going to have a lot of problems in their gates, in their walls, the things that they trust in, and their weapon industry, and their technology, and you know everything that they come up with to make possible for a good life. And he's going to have enemies sent against them to afflict them, and he's going to destroy everything they have built. They're going to end up in abject poverty and in captivity. And so in verse 53, he said, you're going to get to this point, and you shall eat the fruit of your own body. And people do it in wars. Even Americans, some of them, you know, there were some cases of those things that happened in Korea, and I don't know about Vietnam, but in Korea they mentioned that. Because when people have nothing else to eat, you know, they lose their humanity, and they begin to eat whatever they can. And so this is what he's saying here. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you. A lot of people, again, don't realize that. A lot of Americans, a lot of other nations, they're all Israelites, and other nations, because they've taught them to do likewise, they are into this abortion syndrome, you see. And they don't realize that God gave them those children. And they have no business doing what they are doing. And so, as they have done to their own children, you see, under these circumstances, through abortion, God is going to make them, or bring them to the point where they now begin to eat their, not the unborn children, and as they devour them, destroy them, you see, but they're going to eat their own children that were born, that God gave them, that made it through all the way, without being aborted as the others. And all that is a punishment that is coming upon the people of God by the God of Israel, the Savior, the, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some would call him sweetly Lord Jesus. And so it says, you shall eat the fruit of your own body and the flesh of your sons and of your daughters whom the Lord your God has given you in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemies shall straiten you. And of course, today we don't even imagine such a, you know, thing will happen to powerful nations like America, you know, or Britain or France and things like that. But when God begins to punish, he crushes everything that anybody ever has. And the impossible becomes possible. And that's the only way he's going to get our attention, because when we push God all the way to the wall, so to speak, well, you know what happens. That's in essence, all these things are going to happen because of that, because the people of God and then the face, you know, the people on the face of the whole earth, they pushed God all the way to the corner by their behavior. And they were never willing to listen and turn away from their evil deeds before it's too late, and God is going to send them two last witnesses. They're called the two witnesses, two prophets in Jerusalem, who are going to warn them. You read about it in both the book of Zechariah, and you read about it also in Revelation. And yet, not many people are going to listen to them either. And that's when the end is coming, not only upon the people of God, people of Israel, but all of the world. And so, God is going to create, you know, this kind of conditions, unfortunately for men, for all these horrible things and far more to happen. And obviously, he's the God of life. He's not only the God of death, so he's going to bring them back to life and give them another opportunity to do it right. And so that's not the end of the story. Verse 54, the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil against his brother and against the wife of his bosom and against the remnant of his children whom he is remaining. So he's not going to be nice and gentle and kind and all that. Is there a lot of people still out there that way? You see, they're going to hoard to themselves food, and they're not going to let anybody else eat it. And if somebody tries to, their own brother or son or wife, they're going to kill them. You see, people are going to go mad, in essence. That's what's going to happen. They're going to lose their humanity. And that's where they're going to behave. In verse 55, so that he will not give to any of them, imagine that, and look what they are fighting over, of the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left, you know, nothing left to eat. He has nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall straiten you in all your gates. Now, those kind of things happened several times in the past. That's not the first time. But this time is going to be the ultimate one on the large scale basis, because now the children of Israel are more numerous than ever before in their history. They're by the hundreds of millions today. There are some figures about between 400 or 500 million, probably more than that. And of course, most of them, the overwhelming majority of them, do not even know who they are, and they don't believe it when they are told. But when the time comes, they're not going to be ignorant anymore of that, and they're going to have to face the consequences. And this is going to be a part of the reality that is going to happen. Verse 56, the tender and the delicate woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil against the husband of her bosom and against her son and against her daughter. Again, for the same reason. You know, she's going to grab some of the flesh, as horrible as it is, of her son or daughter, you know, after they maybe died in sickness and disease, whatever it may be, or killed. You see, or maybe they killed them. Because they're so hungry. When they go hungry, you know, they go mad. These are not sane people that we're talking about here. And God is going to cause Israel to come to that state of mind. And after that, he's coming after the rest of the world. And the God of love that people do not even know is going to show them what love really means. That it is out of love that he causes them to go through that in order for them to come back to their senses and to hate themselves and to love themselves and to abhor themselves for being the kind of people that they were, and for forcing him to go, you know, to make them go through that. And after that, as I said, I'm the God that not only kills, but I bring back to life, and I'm the God who does not only wound, but also I heal. So there are two sides to the story here. Now, if you see only one side, yeah, it looks horrible, you see. It does not look like, you know, from man's point of view, is a God of love. You see, you got to look at both sides, and then you have to look at the entirety of the picture, the whole story. What began all these things, and how does it end? You see, ultimately ends. Not, you know, this is just the interim, in the in between. This is the spanking. And so he says that's the kind of a woman she's going to behave. And, you know, she's going to be going to get that point where she's so mad, she's going to be against her son and against her daughter and against her afterbirth that comes out from between her feet. You see? Even the, you know, the sack, they call it the sack, you know, where the water is, you know, full of water, and the baby, you know, swims in that, and that's how they're born. Even that, that's what he's talking about here. She wouldn't let anybody have it. She won't see it. She's hungry. And against the children whom she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall straiten you in your gates. In other words, you're going to be in such a horrible condition with enemies all around. There is no food. You can go in, can go out, can go to the market. That whatever you have at home, that's what you're going to go after. Verse 58, and if you will not observe to do all the words of this Torah, all of them, not some of them, but all of them, and obviously speaking about the applicable things at the moment, if you will not observe to do all this Torah that are written in this book, that's the entirety of it, that you may fear His, this glorious and awful name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will make your plagues, well, is the word wonderful. In the ancient King James Version, it meant not what it is today, wonderful. It meant horrible, terrible, worse, you know. And the plagues of your seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance, in other words, going to stick with you. Translations is miserable here in one way, unfortunately. In other words, talking about all the diseases that God is going to bring upon you that are going to stick to you, no matter what you do, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to be able to help it. You see? And that's what he's saying here. And he will bring back upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you was in dread, in other words, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you, and also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this Torah, of this law. You see? And that's what's happening there. An awful lot of diseases nowadays that nobody ever heard of before. And every time they come up with new ones, and the physicians don't even know what they are, they cannot diagnose them, they don't even know. You see? They have no experience with such things. And that's what he's saying here. And so when you look at the medical bill, you know, of all nations of the face of the earth, even here, you know, over $1 trillion, the nation is wasting. You see? It's not spending, it's wasting on all these bad things. You see? And all that people don't realize, and their preachers are not going to tell them that. What is the cause of it? It's disobedience to the law of God. You see? The moral law, the economic law, the social law, you know, spiritual law, every given law, they're all included in the law of God. You see, the law of God deals with everything. You know, when it comes to agriculture and the way you build your home and, you know, all the code of building and behavior, you know, in the economy and agriculture. I mean, every field, every area of life, God gave a constitution to His nation to be governed by. And when they despise it, that's what God is going to do for them. He's going to despise them. Not because He wants them dead, period. That's what the devil wants, you see. That's the difference between Satan and God. And some people don't know the difference in their foolishness. You see, they equate one with the other when they're angry with God. No, God wants us to come back to our senses and to return to Him so that it may be well with us, so that we can live forever as the sons and daughters in His kingdom. Until we learn that, this is what He's going to have to do to us to bring us back to our senses. That's the difference. You see, that's what makes Him ultimately still the God of love. Was, is, and will be, even throughout all these calamities, horrible calamities, you see, unimaginable horrors are going to come upon His own people, which He's going to cause to come upon them. To heal their sick mind, you see, and to bring them back to sanity. And unless you understand it that way, you're not going to understand it. And some people are not going to understand it, as we read in Revelation. And we read, the more plagues come upon them, the more they're going to curse God. You see? They really go totally insane. And so God is saying here through Moses that every sickness and every plague which is not even written in this book of the law, then will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed. That's physically destroyed. But then God brings you back to life, the second resurrection, you see. And he's going to ask you the question, are you willing now to do it right? And not many are going to say, no, we want to go back to the old miserable life. That's a whole key there. Verse 62. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude. And literally today, there are hundreds of millions of the children of Israel, and they do not even know who they are. A lot of them know who they are. As a matter of fact, millions of them know who they are beside the Jewish people. But there are millions of them who know who they are, and they live in the faraway countries there, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Kurdistan, India, and you know, several nations out there, and they are today in the religion of Islam, but they still know their identity. They know that they are the children of Israel, and many of them know even the tribe from which they came. They still, you know, maintain those names. A lot of people are not aware of it. Most Jews are not aware of that. And now recently, you know, they come up with all this information. People have done research, went over there and discovered those people and talked with them and things like that. You see, but still the majority are not aware of that. They even put it on public television where you could see it there. But the overwhelming majority of them, hundreds of millions of them, you know, millions that is, that are in the West, they are not known, most of them. They do not know, and where people are trying to attempt and have been doing it for many years, several decades, to bring it to their attention. Very few in comparison. There are 20, 30, maybe 50 million that believe in it, you see. Of course, not everybody knows that. Now, at least they heard it. And the majority still, you know, they poo-poo that, you know, they make fun of it. And then the clergy, you know, is the worst enemy there. They are the ones that are holding back the truth from their own people. You see? Because they don't want to be considered Jewish. They don't want to go back to the Jewish law. You see? The hatred and malice and darkness is in them, no matter how good otherwise they may be. And they are, in essence, the ones who are responsible for all these evils that are going to come upon the people of Israel. You see? Because they're holding the truth from their people. And instead of leading them to repentance and back to their God and to their law and heritage, they keep them away from it. And that's why the wrath of God is going to be even much more severe on the clergy and on the people who in their gullible foolishness, you know, they just followed. And many of them obviously are not religious to begin with. So they're in a different category. But that's what God is going to have to do to bring back, you know, a little sanity to his people. And in the beginning, as we mentioned several times, only about 10% of them, as we read several prophecies, like at the end of the book of Isaiah chapter 6, you see, and other places in Ezekiel and Zechariah, where God says, you know, that basically one will come back out of 10, you see, and 100 out of 1,000, you know, the city that went out in 1,000 into captivity, only, you know, basically 10% of them will return. And so that's what he's saying here. You're going to be few in number, while before you were multitudes like the multitudes and the stars of heaven. And because you did not listen, obey, or hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. And the majority of people now despise the law of God. They've been taught to do so from a very young age. And by nature, man hates to be governed by law. He wants to do his own thing. That's why Paul said the carnal mind, which is all of us, including those who are spiritual, as himself Paul said, you know, the Torah is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's our nature. Even when we receive the Holy Spirit, it takes a long time to get rid of that, you know, nature. It's a process, you see. And so this carnal mind, he said, is an enemy of God. They don't love God. They don't love his law. They don't want to be told by God. They don't want him in their business. They want to do their own thing, including the religious people. You see, all of us are that way by nature. A lot of things in life that we want to do, and we don't want anybody to tell us what to do. And if it's not in deeds and actions, because we cannot, you know, we don't want people to see it, we do it in our own mind and heart. You know, that's where we covet and lust and lie and deceive and cheat and tell half lies and all, you know, all kind of things like that. You see, that's what Jeremiah tells us. God tells us through Jeremiah that the heart that we have is a deceitful heart. It's deceitful above all things. That's the way it functions. It's a sick heart and desperately sick, terminally ill. You see, and only the physician, the great physician, can heal us from this sickness that is in our heart and our minds. And so because of that, this is what is going to happen to all of us. And because of that, you know, we resent the law of God. And that's what Paul is saying. The carnal mind is an enemy of God. It is not subject to the Torah of God or the law of God. Neither indeed can be. You see, no matter how much you talk to a person like that, they want to go on their own way, you know. And they tell God, you know, keep out of my business. At least in certain areas, you know, they want to do their own thing. And so he said, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God, you know, the voice that he spoke first personally to Israel, and then when he didn't want him to speak in person, then Moses became the voice of God. And so Moses is the voice of God, and that's why God talks always about the law of Moses. The law of Moses is the voice of God. You see, we're not sitting there inventing any of his own words or instructions. Everything came from God, and he became the voice of God. And no other man ever fulfilled that role. You see? Unless God himself speaks through them, and even then, you know, he spoke through the prophets, but none of them was Moses. And that's what Moses said, you know, God shall raise to you a man just like me, speaking about God himself, Jesus Christ, when he came in the flesh. You see? Now, of course, the Jewish community does not believe it, and the majority of people who are Israelites, even though they call themselves Christians, they really don't believe it. Very few do, and even what they do, you see, is partially. And that's unfortunately the way it goes. And so it says, because you have, in essence, rebelled against the voice of God, you would not listen, you would not hear, you would not obey. All these things are coming upon you in verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good, think about it, and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to cause you to perish. That's the God of love. This is Jesus Christ speaking through Moses, his voice. And you know, we can say all we want against it. We're going to go through that. And when we go through that, we're going to come to the point where we're not going to be rebellious anymore, but we're going to be like whimpering little children coming out of that horrible horrors that God is going to make us go through. And we're going to say all the time, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Whatever you say, yes, sir. You see? Well, that's the way we choose. That's the way it's going to be. The choice is up to us. And that's what later on God, through Moses, tells Israel. You've got a choice. Either life or death, but I wanted to choose life. And most of us have chosen death when we choose rebellion against the law of God. And so we're going to go through it because the majority are going to make fun of this as they've always done it since the days of Moses. And that's, unfortunately, is the history of Israel. And so, that's what he's saying here. Just as God has rejoiced to do you good, he's going to rejoice to do you evil. And people obviously do not see God in that light because they really do not know God. As, you know, Paul would say, our, you know, you better be scared of God, you know. Don't play games with him. Our God is a consuming fire, you know. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the Eternal. And yet God is being mocked all the time by people who think they can get away with it. And they don't realize what they are bringing upon themselves. So God is going to let them know who He is. They're going to learn the hard way. That's the way they choose. You know, we have the choice to know in the good way or the hard way, the bad way, you see. And so that's what He's saying here. As, and it shall come to pass, that is, verse 63 again, that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good, and to multiply you, and that's the only kind of God he wants to be known as, you see, a God of love and kindness and mercy and compassion and affection and warmth and blessings and all that. But on the other hand, you know, if we choose to be his enemies, well, he's going to be our enemy. And if we choose to despise him and hate him, he's going to respond in like manner. That's as simple as that. And when people do not realize that, well, they're going to find that out the hard way. That's exactly what Moses is saying here. A lot of people just don't think about God in these terms. And he makes it very plain here. This is the law of God. This is God speaking. You see? That's what he's telling us. That's the way I am. And I can, you know, you're not going to play games with God and think that you can get away with murder with him. You know, do whatever you want. Come as you are. Disobey the law of God. Despise it. You know, defile and pollute his Sabbath. Not, you know the men's Sabbath or his pagan religion, you know. But his Sabbath. People think they can pollute his Sabbath and get away with it and come up with their own day. I claim that they've got authority over the Bible to determine that. You see? And many other laws. That's what man has been doing. claiming to be the servants of God, you know, the vicar of Christ, and all this deception that they heap upon people, and people follow them being gullible. What do they care? You know, they don't study the law of God. They don't know anything about it. You know, they just want to have a little dose of spirituality once a week, and then leave me alone. Let me live my own life. You see? That's how people are able to deceive them. And therefore, they really do not know God. And because they don't know God, they don't know His law, and they despise it because they've been taught to despise it and to hate it. And so they get to that point in history. Well, this is exactly, in essence, what God ultimately is going to do to all mankind. Enough is enough to all this confusion on this earth, to this Babylon. And that's how He's going to wipe out Babylon, and unfortunately 90% of her children from the face of the earth, and then begin with the rest of the 10%, you see, and gradually bring them back to sanity, and to truth, and to light, and to obedience. They're not going to be playing games anymore, because they're not going to tolerate at that point any rebellion anymore. And that's why we read about Him, that he's, in the beginning of His reign, He's going to rule with a rod of iron, and He's going to give the same power to His saints. And they're going to crush any given rebellion on the face of the earth, any show of it. No more playing games with God, or His law. You see? And that's what He's saying here in essence. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoices over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to cause you to perish and to destroy you. And you shall be plucked from off the land whether you go in to possess it. Now he's speaking specific about the land of Canaan and about the people of Israel at the time. You see? And that happened to them many times in small doses, and then finally God totally vomited them out of the land through captivity, and they went through horrible captivities one way or the other at any given time. And it got to that point also where they were eating the flesh of their own children. And Jeremiah describes in Lamentation about the horrible fate of Jerusalem and the people of Judah around, and that happened earlier to a degree. For the people of Israel, of course, many of them were taken to captivity and others fled, you see. But ultimately speaking, even in later history, for those who have eyes to see, and to know who really were the people of Israel as they migrated, you know, either west or east, well, now and then throughout their history, they had several captivities and they had several enemies and troubles and things like that. Things were not rosy all the time. When they were good, you know, God blessed them. And when they were wicked and evil and corrupt, God brought on them enemies, vicious enemies at times. As He said about His own people, He's going to bring the worst of the heathen against them. You see? You're not going to pick up a gentle enemy, but a ruthless enemy. And that's the kind of enemies He brought against His own people. Assyria and then Babylon. And that's what He's going to do in the future too. So they're bleeding, and they're going to bleed so much more so, and they don't realize why. Until they come back to their senses. And so that's what God is telling them here through Moses, and He's warning them. Verse 64, "And the Lord shall scatter you among all the peoples," which happened, "from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth," and that's where they are, everywhere, beside major concentrations in Northwest Europe and the Americas, Australia and New Zealand, and then the Jews are all over the world, and there are Israelites also, again, you know, back there in the faraway countries, in the east, as we mentioned earlier, you see, and God is going to bring them back from all those places. That is the remnant of them at the end. And of course, most of them lost their identity in all those places. There's still no remain among themselves, you know, a little bit of intermarriages, but really the majority of them, God sees to it that they are preserved as a people. In spite of all the intermarriages that they have along the way, the majority of them are not into it, you see. The majority of them remain among themselves. Because God wants His nation preserved, and not just totally, you know, mingled with the nations until there are no more. And He sees to it throughout the history of Israel, from that time to this very day, that this thing happens. So when He brings them back, He brings them back as Israelites, you see. Not totally mixed up people, where you don't know who is who. And so we read here, this is what He's going to do to them. He's going to scatter them among all the peoples of the earth, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. And there shall you serve other gods, which you have not known. That's what happened to them. And then they think, you know, that they came across a true religion, you know, the religion of Christ. In the beginning, they were introduced back again to the religion of Christ, which is the law of Moses. That's what the apostles were preaching wherever they went. You know, they're all the apostles to the circumcision. That's the message that Peter gave them, and James and all the others, Andrew. You see, and when you study history, you realize that the original Christians for many centuries, especially among the people of Israel, they were keeping the law of Moses. Because that's the religion that the disciples of Christ taught. That's the only one. The one that Christ said, don't think that I came to do away with it. Until the false religion, you know, began to take over and usurp, you see, and lead the people of Israel back into Babylon. And now they think that they're in the true religion of Christianity, and they don't realize they're back into Babylon. That's why God says, you better come back with Babylon or else. You're all going to be, you know, plagued with the same plague that He's going to bring on Babylon. And even the children of Judah, though they retained a good measure of the law of Moses, you know, they injected their own into it, and then they borrowed also some of the lies of the heathen around them. And the doctrine of heaven and hell is just one of them. And they mixed it up, you know, with the true religion, and created a vomit out of it, and that's the way God regards it. So all of the people of Israel, every single tribe of Israel, you know, be it the house of Judah and all those who are with them, and the house of Israel, all of them in essence are, to one degree or the other, into Babylon. And God tells them, you come out of it and come back to the purity of the religion that I gave you through Moses, and the one that I warned you about, that you better not add to it, nor diminish from it. And yet they've done that, you see, and yet they think that they're the people of God. Well, to a degree they are, but that's not what God is interested in. And so that's why they're going to have to go through that. And so all these evils that come upon them all this time, a lot of them sometimes don't realize. They think, well, we're serving God, why all those things come upon us? Well, they think that they're serving God. That's a difference. They really don't. They think they do. Just like they were in the land of Israel. All of a sudden they were serving God. And they were wondering why all those things are coming upon them. Because they're false prophets. You know, they're rabbis and they're teachers and the clergy and the priests and the ministers, whatever you may call them. They constantly kept deceiving them that they are really serving the law of God. You know, the true religion of God. And people don't check on them. That's what Christ warned us. 2,000 years ago, take heed, because many are going to come in my name and are going to deceive you. They'll tell you an awful lot of things about me. You know, they'll say that I'm the Christ and teach you many things about me and then deceive you anyway. And people have never taken that warning seriously. And so this is what he's saying here. You're going to be there worshipping idols, you know, other religions. And among these nations shall he have no repose, you know, no peace, all those troubles. And there shall be no rest for the sole of your foot, but the Lord shall give you there a trembling heart, and a failing of eyes, and languishing of soul, and your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear night and day, and you shall have no assurance for your life. In the morning you shall say, would it were even, you know, I wish it was evening, so I can go to bed and forget all about my troubles. And at even, you shall say, would it were morning, in which the morning will come, because I'm scared to death at night. So it's not that it happens all the time. It happened in the history of Israel many times as they went through their journeying, you know, and were attacked by enemies here and there, and they had troubles, you see, when things got worse in their conduct, you see, and then God would bring upon them all these things, and then, you know, they will have periods of peace when they're doing okay, and they might even be powerful and mighty, you see. But those things always come back to haunt them, as they depart from God and despise His law and become corrupt in so many ways, you see. But now God is talking about the ultimate, what is going to bring at the end of time. And so He said, you're going to be at this point, and for fear of your heart, which you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see, and the Lord shall bring you back into Egypt in ships, by the way whereof I said unto you, you shall see it no more again. Now, this never happened in the history of Israel in the time, you know, in the past, that is, when they had those captivities, you know, when Israel was taken into captivity by Assyria, they were not taken into Egypt, they were not taken by ships into Egypt. And when Judah went into captivity, they went to Babylon, not to Egypt. So what is he talking about here? Something that is yet to happen. A part of the final, you see, captivity of Israel. The great trouble of Jacob that Jeremiah spoke about, that they were, you know, it's such a horrible thing. It has never been a thing like that, nor ever will be. And Daniel also, in chapter 12, speaks about the same thing. You see? And that's basically what Moses is talking about here. And many of the prophets of God inspired them later on to speak about the same things, beside all the punishments that came upon them in their days, you see, and throughout the history of Israel. But all of them spoke about the final captivity that is coming upon the people of God all around the earth. And Jeremiah spoke about it in chapter 30. First, he talks about the good things that God is going to do for him, that is, for his people. And that's, we read here in chapter 30 of Jeremiah, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself, and all the words that I have spoken unto you." And that's how the book of Jeremiah came to be. "For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel." So first the good news, and Judah, you see, Israel and Judah, because all of them are in captivity. And of course, Israel lost their identity, basically speaking, most of them anyway. And Judah still, a part of them retain their identity. Even most of Judah do not know who they are. A lot of people don't realize that. As I mentioned earlier, you know, the people of Judah, you know, the Scots people, you know, there are 42 million of them. And then the Jews, they were dispersed all over the countries. Many of them just, you know, forgot about their own religion and became, you know, members of the other religions all around them. Most of them today are either into so-called Christianity, and they don't know it, or into Islam. You see? And God knows who they are. He's going to bring them back. And so that's what he's saying here. He's going to bring them back from captivity, my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. So all those people there who think they're going to have to you know, in other words, they desire their own land. They claim that's their land. You know, they talk about Arab rights, Palestinian rights, and all that. They don't know what's coming. You see? They don't know the will of Allah. This is Allah speaking. This is the God of Israel. This is Jesus Christ. It's the same person. And he is the angel of the Lord of his Father, the Most High. And most people are not aware of that. They don't know that. In any religion on the face of the earth, they're all blind and ignorant to one degree or the other of these matters, which God makes very plain throughout the entirety of his words. And so he says, I'm going to bring them back, and they're going to possess it. Not Arabs, not Palestinians. Nobody else is going to possess it. And those who are going to defy the will of God at that time, God simply is going to decimate them. And that's the simplicity of the reality that is coming upon them, whether they like it or not, like to hear it or believe it. It's neither here nor there. This has been written a long time ago, and it will come to pass because God said it. That's all there is to it. And so that's what he's saying here. And then, now he gives them the bad news. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah, both of them again. So first he tells them what he's going to do at the end time, after the captivity and after all the horrible things that are coming upon them. And then he's backtracking and he's going to tell them what he's going to bring upon them first. This is what we read here. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we've heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with a child. You see, men don't act like that. You know, they're not pregnant. They, you know, they don't have childbirth. They don't have childbirth pangs. And God said, well, how can they behave like that? Well, he's describing the way, you know, they're going to be so fearful and so scared that that's the way they're going to be. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great. Speaking about the end time captivity and trouble that is coming upon all the children of Israel, so that none is like it. So all the horrible things that happened in the past, including the Holocaust, are nothing in comparison to what is still yet to come. Because the people of Judah never returned to their God. They're still as rebellious as ever, the overwhelming majority of them. And the children of Israel, well, they've always been there to one degree or the other, and getting worse. They, to begin with, rejected the law of God a long time ago. Never came back to it. You see? Even though partially when the disciples of Christ preached to them, and again the law of God, they did. And then they went back to, you know, the ways of the world. And that's what he's saying here. So that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That's the 10% of them. And the rest will be brought back from the dead 1,000 years later. Now that's what Paul is saying. All Israel shall be saved. That's the ultimate good news. But what happens in between, that's horrible news. You see? And that's why Christ warned us, unless we all repent, we shall all likewise perish. And then through Daniel, this is what we read, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, and at that time, speaking by the end time, Michael is the prince of Israel. He's not the prince of anybody else. Some people, you know, like to play games with that, you know, Lord Michael, and they pray to him. And we pray only to God, not to an angel. And so, this is what you read here. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, speaking to Daniel. That's his job, to take care of the people of Israel, no other nations, no other peoples. That's what he's saying here. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. That's the worst time that ever is going to happen. You see, it never happened before. Even at that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. Who are going to be delivered at this time? Everyone who is found written in the book. You see, that's what it's talking about here. And then he talks about the resurrection. You know, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That's where they are. They're not in heaven. They're not in hell. You know, the pagan doctrine that most people, the people of God, believe in. Both the houses of Israel and Judah. So they're in the dust, as Christ said. And we had a whole series on that, of, you know, the doctrine of heaven and hell. And for those who are interested in it, you can ask for it. And we're going to enclose it also with this series at the end, later on. And so this is what he's saying here. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness. You see, the law of God is righteousness. And they're going to be like the stars forever and ever. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ was talking about in Matthew 24. You see, in Luke 21 and Mark 13. About the great trouble that is coming that has never been before. And unless God intervenes, he said, no man shall be saved alive. And all talking about the same thing, what Moses, what God here introduced first through Moses. That is for his people Israel. You see, it's all the same message, the same book, the same word, the same voice. There's no confusion of several religions, and each one claims to be the true one. That's what Babylon is all about. And so that's what Moses is saying here. That God is, at the end time, is going to deliver them. And so, first they're going to go through it, and then he's going to bring them out of this captivity. And so this is what he's saying here again in verse 68, and the Lord shall bring you back into Egypt in ships, by the way whereof I said unto you, you shall see it no more again. Well, here it is, he brings them. And so when you read in Isaiah 11, this is where you see a part of the captivity of the children of Israel, both Judah and Israel, in Egypt, in Sudan, in Ethiopia, and then other parts of the Middle East, like Iraq and Iran, you know, and Syria and other places like that, and beside all other places where they are. And that's where God is going to bring the remnant back from, those areas, and all other areas all around the earth. And so this is what he's saying, you know, this is what you're going to be there. You shall see it. Well, God, but Egypt said initially, you shall see it no more, but now they're going to end up there. And there you shall sell yourselves unto your enemies for bondmen and for bondwomen. Why? Because you're hungry. You want to eat. So you sell yourselves as slaves. You know, today we call it to go and get a job. And no man shall buy you. You'll be totally unemployed. Nobody's interested in you because there's so many around, you know, to begin with, they cannot even feed themselves. You see, and yet you're going to end up there in captivity and all over the place like that. Verse 69, that's what he's saying here. This is what's going to happen to you. And then these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses. You see, this is God speaking here through Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. So now for the second generation, he gives them this covenant, renewing the covenant, the marriage covenant with them, and he's warning them. He's telling them, you know, about the good news and the bad news. They don't behave themselves. And those things are going to happen. They have happened in the past, and they will yet happen in its full fury. And then there will come the awesome blessing that is going to pour upon his people, the remnant, and the rest, the overwhelming majority of Israel, are going to be brought back in the second resurrection. And that's what you read about in Revelation, where he talks about the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years were over. And after that, they are brought back. And that's when God... Well, that's what you read in Ezekiel 37, in essence. All those people of Israel that come back to life, that's the time. It's not talking about the time when he comes. When he comes, only the people who were righteous, who walked in the faith, who walked in the law of God, they are the only ones, as you just read in Daniel, are going to be brought back to life at that point, the saints. As for the rest, are going to be brought back 1,000 years later, and then they would walk with God and play games with Him no more. And anyway, we're going to stop. This is the end of the chapter of 28. We're going to continue next time with chapter 29. This is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until then.